This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Farrah & Farrah, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wachovia, Geico, Sonny's Barbecue, your Southeast Toyota dealers, the Parts House, and by Everbank. The appearance of Pete Banaszak is made possible by the Cascades of World Golf Village. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
Well, this is going to be a rough one to dissect. Jaguars lose it 28-3 at home to the Philadelphia Eagles. Michael Vick comes in with a big day, throwing for nearly 300 yards. Vick also on the day running for 30 yards and a touchdown. The Jaguars, just very few positives to pick out of this one, and we'll try to find as many positives as we can, but we'll certainly give the bulk of our attention to what has gone wrong and what it means going forward in our postgame coverage and analysis from Pete Banaszak and Marco Coleman. First, let's get you updated on the games going on around the National Football League right now. St. Louis on their way to a big win in the young career of Sam Bradford, the first overall pick of the draft, threw a touchdown today, but it's been a lot of field goal action by Josh Brown in the fourth quarter that has helped stretch the lead. St. Louis leading Donovan McNabb and the Redskins 27-16 right now with 1:55 remaining in the ball game. Bradford in the game, 23 of 37, 235 yards, and a touchdown for the Rams. Arizona has a one-point lead on Oakland, 24-23, 4:46 remaining in the ballgame. Oakland trailing by a point, but with the football in Arizona territory with less than 5 minutes remaining. Indianapolis had a little bit of a scare, but surviving despite over 400 yards passing by Kyle Orton. The Colts leading at 27-13 with a minute and a half to play. In the Mile High City, Peyton Manning today threw for 325 yards and three touchdowns, and the Colts come to Jacksonville next week. Seattle and San Diego's been a back-and-forth affair. Seattle just moments ago breaking a 20-20 tie. The Chargers able to come back with a Leon Washington 99-yard kickoff return for a score. That's the second by Leon in the ball game. So it's been special teams that's made a big dent in things, and it's 26-20 with the extra point ensuing for Seattle as they try to get the victory over San Diego at home in a matchup of a couple of former AFC West foes. Tonight, it's the Jets in Miami going at it, and Green Bay and Chicago will be the game on Monday Night Football. And you look at some of the standings, very few undefeated teams may be left standing by the time the third week of the season comes to a close. The Dolphins are 2-0. Mentioned they play at home against the Jets tonight. We'll see how that one goes. The Steelers got a win today. They're 3-0 without Ben Roethlisberger. Look out for the Steelers this year if they can keep things going with the Big Ben's return here in a couple of weeks. Kansas City, a surprising 3-0. The most surprising team in the National Football League. The Chiefs today beat San Francisco at Arrowhead 31-10. Kansas City getting a good performance by Matt Cassel. Three touchdown passes, 250 yards through the air for Castle today in the win. Other teams atop the standing, of course, the Bears and Packers, one of those two teams will lose. They play one another on Monday Night Football. They're a 2-0 going into the game, and those are the only remaining undefeated teams in the National Football League. Those two teams that will play tomorrow night, Chicago and Green Bay, the Chiefs at 3-0, the Steelers at 3-0, and then the Dolphins at 2-0 heading in their game tonight. So it is a wide open field right now. All right, let's get some comments here from Marco Coleman and Pete Banaszak before we send it back upstairs. Pete, last year's defining image of the year, I thought, was the Cardinals game with a bunch of empty seats and the Jaguars not playing well. I'm concerned that the lasting image of the season this year is going to be a wide receiver streaking down the field. We saw an awful lot of that today.
Yeah, we sure did. You know, it's disappointing. I don't know how to sugarcoat this, if you can. There's nothing to sugarcoat, but it was a horrible performance by everybody, you know, starting with the coaches right down, you know, defense, offense. Special teams had a few plays early in the game, but that was about it. But I don't know. I just thought we were uninspired. We just didn't seem to, you know, to be ferocious, wanting to play. We, you know, David Garrard, I've never seen him play. This has to be his worst game as a Jaguar. You know, he threw him ahead of him, behind him, over him, in front of him, fighting for his life. You know, I thought our coaching was horrible. You know, why do we have to wait till the fourth quarter to throw him up? you know, and then we, you know, that to me, that's asinine. But it's just a horrible performance.
All right, we've got a lot more to talk about as we go. For now, let's send it now to the locker room. Jeff Loggeman standing by with the head coach, Jack Del Rio.
All right, thank you, Cole. Jack, certainly not the result that you wanted to have, especially at home. I mean, how do you explain that?
Well, I can explain it. We didn't play well enough to win today. We let some big plays happen to us defensively. Offensively, we didn't really generate anything. I mean, all day, we couldn't throw it, couldn't throw it, protect it. We ran it okay. Thought we ran it okay all day, but we just never made a play in a passing game. And then we allowed some big plays. You know, I think really other than probably a handful of four or five plays, we really played, did some good things, but I'm not going to sit here and try and look for anything, you know, like that. I'm just going to sit here and say that not good enough.
Offensively, David, two games back-to-back where he struggled. How do you get him back? How do you get him back on track? I mean, it's David's always had maybe a bad game, but then he's bounced back with a real good one. It's the first time I've seen it where he's had a bad game.
Yeah, I think that's the question we've got to go back and as a staff make sure we're doing everything we can to give him every opportunity to come back. And, you know, clearly nobody's going to come and save us as a football team. We've got to find a way to hang together, circle the wagons, and get ready for the next opportunity. And that's where we are. You know, the critics and the disgruntled fans are typically at their worst in these moments, and that's when we have to rely on each other. And I think you understand that part of it. Not that you like it. I think you understand that part of it. And I think it's imperative that as a football team we find a way to continue to work, continue to believe, continue to look for the next opportunity. And, you know, as a man, I promised these guys just now, I said, you will get that from me. Without question, and I'm looking that from each of you.
Any injuries report? I didn't notice any.
No, there wasn't anything major. I think Sean told me he had a little bit of a hamstring. He's able to play through it, and hopefully that's not a problem for us for next week.
All right, thank you, Jack.
Okay, Jeff.
All right, that was the coach's report with head coach Jack Del Rio, brought to you by Bubba Burgers. In the wake of a 28-3 loss to the Eagles today, it was about what you would expect. That's a locker room right now that is hurting, and they have got to find a way to put all of the criticism aside because it's coming, and they know it, and fight through it this week because they got a big-time game next week with the Indianapolis Colts here. You also heard the injury report brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, a hamstring with Sean Considine. Can't have that next week, not with Peyton Manning. You're going to need your safeties all over the field. We'll take a break, come back with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Eagles win today in Jacksonville, 28-3. We go to the locker room where Jeff Loggeman has middle linebacker Kirk Morrison. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. Kirk, it's never easy for, you know, losing in the National Football League, but when you get them like that at home, it doesn't make it. It may make it worse.
It hurts because you have a game plan going in and you work all week long. You're confident in what you're doing and you go out there and you play the game. You know, there's ups and downs, but in the NFL, when you have two or three plays that go for big yardage or go for scores, it takes away all those positive plays that you had all game long, and four plays can hurt you. And you go from having two or three touchdowns to now all of a sudden it's 28 points. There's a lot of adversity that goes throughout the game. You know, as a defense, we take a lot of that on our shoulders, and we got to go out there and just execute our game plan. And you know, they had some good receivers out there, and they had a good quarterback get out of the pocket and kept plays going. And that's tough. It was tough on us today.
Head coach talked about circling the wagons. You know, obviously, the criticism, the critics, whatever, it's going to be loud, you know, the right. Disappointment, et cetera. I think confidence is obviously going to be key as well. For a defense that's very young, as a veteran guy, how do you make sure that that's there?
I think one of the biggest things is that you come in, you look at where we had mistakes at, where we didn't execute, and you build from that. You have to. And one of the biggest things I've learned over my years of playing is that's where you start to look at yourself in the mirror and say, what can I do to be better? And it all starts with you. And when you look at yourself and say, what do I need to fix, make sure I take my game to the next level. And if everybody does that, then we work together collectively as a team. I think that's what you learn from, you know, week to week.
Big game coming in here because of Michael Vick, you know, right. Named the starting quarterback. And I thought, hey, this is not only a big game for Michael Vick, but it's a great opportunity for your team as a defense to show kind of what you got. And I'm sure you guys looked at that the same way.
It was a huge game. Huge. It's something that that was something that we talked about as a team. You know, everybody's coming out to see what Michael Vick's going to do, but nobody's talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it was a game that everybody talked about, Vick this, Vick that. And we felt that it was a game that we got to go out there and show people what we can do. We felt like we played a decent game, but then there's, you know, those two, three, or four plays that hurt you and that, you know, can really change the tide of a game. And that's the kind of quarterback and that's the kind of offense that they are. They're a big play kind of team. They're not going to drive the ball all the way down on you. They try to look for the big play, and that's what we try to stay away from, those big explosives.
All right, thank you, Kirk.
No problem.
That's middle linebacker Kirk Morrison. Time now for a final stat check brought to you by Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company. And if you have small children in the car, you may want to cover their ears, folks, because this is not pretty. Jaguars finish with 184 total yards, 54 from their passing attack, 130 on the ground. Only lost the ball once. It was an interception thrown by David to Asante Samuel in the third quarter. David's numbers, 13 of 30, 105 yards. Gross, but you have to back out the sacks that he took. And the net passing yards were only 54. He threw one interception today, and his rating was 38.9. Leading receiver for the Jaguars in terms of yardage, Mike Sims-Walker, two catches for 34 yards today. Tyquan Underwood had one for 22. Mercedes Lewis led in terms of receptions. He had three for 15. And then a host of other Jaguars, you know, 5, 6, 8 yards here and there. Leading rusher today, Maurice Jones-Drew, 22 carries, 88 yards. That's 4.0 yards per carry, which is a healthy average. Jaguars did run the ball pretty solidly today, 130 total yards on the ground. Eagles, 373 total yards, and we'll get back to the Wachovia stats check. First, though, let's go back down and check in the Jaguars locker room with Jeff Loggeman. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. Brad, obviously a day that, you know, you kind of want to get past, but the most important thing is where you kind of go from here. And Jack talked about circling the wagons, and most importantly, you guys got to get your quarterback back, get his confidence back, get the confidence of the entire offense back. How do you go about that?
You know, one great thing about this offense, about this team, is how much we stay together and how much we continue to fight together as a team, and we're definitely going to do that. You know, obviously, kind of on a tough time right now, but I know the character that's in this group. I know that we're going to ride together, find a way to get it done, and get better this week.
All right, folks, we're talking to Brad Meester. And Brad, as an offensive line, part of getting that confidence back with your quarterback is getting the unit kind of play. And obviously, the Philadelphia Eagles present a lot of challenges defensively because they do so many different things. And I'm sure you guys take a lot of that on yourselves. Hey, look, we got to do better to where he can do better, and then the receivers can do better, and Maurice can do better.
Definitely. I mean, we always said it starts up front. You know, it's on this offensive line to take control of this offense. We got to do a better job of protecting David, you know, getting him that time back there, and just do a better job of getting mow them holes. We know he can break anything open. We just got to give him a chance, get him them holes. We got to find a way to correct it. We're going to do that this week.
All right, thank you, Brad.
All right, thank you.
All right, folks, when the Jaguars win, everyone wins at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. You'll get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Mondays or Tuesdays after a winning game. You should see the look on Joe Fortunato's face as he knows he's not getting his at any of the participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. I'll take you to Sonny's this week, Joe, and get you a barbecue pork sandwich. We'll take a break. More to come on the Winn-Dixie postgame show after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman. We'll hand it off shortly to Cole and Pete and Marco, and of course you can contribute there. Rain starting to fall in Jacksonville, fitting in to a really bad day at Everbank Field. Jeff Loggeman is down in the locker room. We were talking about a Bueller Swiss watch MVP. Loggs, I noticed you left the box up here next to your stuff.
Yeah, I mean, does anybody really... Have they earned it? I mean, not in a game like today, no.
No,
I mean, that's got to stay on the shelf.
Yeah, I think so. And if someone has a big game next week, maybe we can award two. By the way, folks, you can get yours at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Robinson Jewelry Company in Fernandina Beach, Faceted and Rainbow in Ocala, and Kingsley Jewelry in Orange Park. How about an O'Reilly Auto Parts offensive player of the game?
I like the way Maurice ran. You know, I mean, even though the Eagles were putting eight guys in the box, seven guys in the box when they were in three wides, and he ran the ball, he ran hard. And to get 4 yards of carry against the type of defense that he faced today, I thought it was solid.
All right, so the O'Reilly Auto Parts folks will be making a donation to the Jack Del Rio Foundation in the name of Maurice Drew. Logs, they got a really tough week coming up, don't they? Not just from the outside, the pressure that they're going to face from the fans and the criticism of the coaching staff and all of that stuff that comes when you lose, but they got Peyton Manning they got to get ready for, and that is a monumental task for them this
week. Well, and nobody's going to get more pressure, attention this week than David Garrard. I mean, when you put together back-to-back games, which not very good, and then the second game, you said all throughout the game, you know, he's never had a game that was bad like he had in San Diego, and he didn't follow it up with a pretty good one. Well, here's the first time that it's ever happened, and he does it with maybe, and we're not exactly sure, but I'm pretty sure that we know that it was his worst rated game ever. You know, so he is going to be under some serious scrutiny this week and attention, and he's going to have to close his ears.
The completions at the end of the game took him from 25-5 up to about 38-9. So it's not statistically going to be his worst game ever, but Logs, an important point. The stats don't always tell the story. He threw it long. He threw it short. He was inaccurate. He didn't look confident. I mean, if you're gonna look at a worst game ever in terms of the way that the guy played, the whole body of work, I'm not sure the stats tell the whole story.
Well, and as we said, I mean, there were four chances, I think, that the Eagles had at making interceptions, so he had four near interceptions. The plays just weren't made.
But
this was a game which, I mean, you just didn't see any clear decision-making, anything that would indicate that, hey, here's a confident quarterback. I mean, that's the problem, I think, that this team is going to have going forward, is getting the David Garrard back that came out in opening day and had such a phenomenal game. They got to get him back and get him back quick because they have no other option.
All right, well, I'm looking for an adjective to describe what kind of week it should be. Interesting, tough. I think intense is probably going to be the best way to describe what this week is going to be, don't you think?
I think it's going to be intense, but at the same time, there's got to be a lot of teaching going on. You know, I mean, they've got to get these – this is a young team. You know, it's a team that's been in reconstruction roster-wise, and young teams like that, you got to teach. And the coaches got to get to work. You know, coaches got to work overtime this week. I mean, the players, you can only ask to do so much because their bodies can only take so much during the regular season. They got to get ready to play a game. But clearly there has to be extra time put in this week and certainly extra attention to detail and teaching.
All right, Loggy, appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Okay, Brian.
Folks, you can visit Sportsmania today for your chance to win the ultimate Jaguars game day experience, a limo ride, club seats, and Sky Lounge tailgate party passes for the Jaguars-Colts game. Register for free at your closest Sportsmania in Jacksonville. Time now for our Bud Play of the Game brought to you by Bud Light. And if you look back to the first quarter, that's how far we have to go, folks. The Jaguars forced the Eagles out, three and out, and the Jaguars offense couldn't do a whole lot with it. Eagles get the ball back at their own 29-yard line. Get a first down at their own 45-yard line. And on second and seven at the Philadelphia 48, well, we saw the big guy, Terrence Knighton, come through with the play. You don't necessarily see him week to week, but Loggy does when he watches the film. And Terrence Knighton against the Broncos and against the Chargers was not the Terrence Knighton that we came to know and expect last season. So he came through with a big play, and it's our Bud play of the game. Celek, Jackson, and Macklin across the front corners are pressed. I formation. Schmidt in front of McCoy. Second and eight at the 47. Here's Vic back to throw. Steps up into the pocket. He's going to get hit and sacked and pulled to the ground. And Terrence Knighton got him. It was a loss of nine and set up third down and 16. And to tell you the story of the day, ladies and gentlemen, on third down and 16, the very next play, Mike Vic finds DeSean Jackson for a 61-yard touchdown. And that was our Bud play of the game. Brought to you by Bud Light. It's a sure sign of a good time. Here we go, Bud Light. Well, all right, folks, here we go to more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show. I want to thank the folks from CopyFax, Jason DeFore and his crew, for printing our spotting boards that help us keep track of the game every single week. My spotter, TJ Streit, Scott Kushner, our engineer up here, and the wonderfully talented Philadelphia native, not that he's celebrating tonight, executive producer of Jaguars Football on Radio, Joe Fortunato. We'll pass it back to the more than capable folks downstairs on Jaguars Radio. Good night, everybody.
We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show now from Jaguar Central. Cole Pepper here along with Pete Banaszak, Marco Coleman. A reminder to vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher can win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for details. Okay. Well, let's start with the offense, gentlemen. And let's start with the quarterback because that's where most of the conversation is going to go this week, although there's plenty of conversation for some other areas. Marco, to me, David Garrard looked like a guy whose confidence was shaken, who was not comfortable or feeling in control of what was going on out there. And the worry is, can you come back from that? So you've sent a lot of quarterbacks to that sort of behavior in your career. Can a guy come back from that?
You know, I think he can. I think coming in this game, they went about it the wrong way. All the passes that he started out with were down the field. Why not start, get him some confidence with the biggest, best target that they have in Mercedes Lewis early in the game?
You've been screaming from a mountaintop from the beginning of this year. Get it to Mercedes, get it to Mercedes.
It's the easiest throw for David, the biggest target. You know, and that'll get him the confidence because this guy will be open. It's extremely hard for anybody on the field to cover this guy without a pass interference. And those are the type of passes that will get him that type of confidence. And they don't put the offense in harm's way. I'm beginning to think that Cutter doesn't know how to actually have the tight end implemented in the offense.
All right, well, as Jack Del Rio said, Pete, they ran the ball okay today. Maurice Jones-Drew averaged 4 yards a carry. Jennings had a couple of nice runs when he got in there. But the passing game was just putrid. 54 net passing yards. That ties for the third worst performance by the Jaguars in team history, tying the Cleveland game back in 2002 that you might remember as the Hail Mary game. What in the world's wrong with the passing game right now?
Well, you know, other than David struggling, and this is the most, this is the worst performance I've seen him have in I think ever. But, you know what? I gotta blame some of this on coaching. I think Cutter has done a poor, poor job in preparing David Garrard, for this Eagle football team today. First of all, if you play the Philadelphia Eagles and you see Asante Samuels in the defensive backfield, especially playing corner, you know he likes to sit on receivers. You know that. He's done that since he was with New England.
He's a gambler.
He's a gambler, and he looks in the backfield. Why didn't we throw some ups early? I mean, we have no explosiveness.
A little double move, something
exactly.
Like that.
That's not David's throw. I don't know why we keep trying to get him to do something that's not – when he was at his best and he had all his completions when he was throwing those shorter routes. That year was it 2007. Wasn't deep balls that David was throwing. These were short, intermediate passes.
They threw the first deep ball on the first play of the fourth quarter on a long out and up to Underwood, and they got pass interference. You know, you should have been doing that right from the get go. And you can't throw ins and outs on Asante Samuels. He was just waiting to pick that up.
All right, so I'm sensing two different philosophies here in this room about what you think the Jaguars should be doing in terms of their approach in the passing game. Pete, you want to see him try to force the issue, try to put some pressure down the field.
I want to see big plays. I want to see explosiveness. We don't even show nothing of that sort.
And, Marco, you're looking for more of the controlled passing game.
Right, because I don't think the defense can't be on the field. And I don't think the outside guys have the playmaking ability to do that along with David and his accuracy. And the best player that they have on the offense, aside from Maurice Jones-Drew, is Mercedes Lewis.
Listen, these are some of the conversations, something akin to this, is what goes on in those offensive meeting rooms. They start putting together a game plan of how to do it. The problem was today, I didn't think as much about the plan. I mean, there are some things I agree with. Asante Samuel, you got to try some double moves.
Yeah,
and that
you
sort
can't
of, if you're going to try his side. Yeah. And I also would like to have seen Mercedes Lewis more involved.
But you're talking about throwing a Tyquan Underwood. You're talking about throwing a guy that this guy, Mercedes Lewis, NFL
but Marco,
universe.
I know. Listen, I'm not discounting
you know,
Mercedes.
He's not a deep threat.
I'm talking about incorporating him more in the passing game. I'm with you on that. But my problem is this. It's not just about did they throw it deep, did they not. To me, it's more about can they be more like the offense we saw in terms of efficiency against Denver. I mean, David comes out, has 138.9 passer rating in that game against Denver. All right, that's the third best in Jaguars history. And then 2 weeks later, he comes back after a poor performance with those interceptions last week in San Diego. Now this week he comes out and it's the third lowest net passing yards in franchise
history. But I tell you, two guys that didn't help him out, Evan Britton and Eugene Monroe today played extremely bad. I mean, the sacks, these guys got whooped today. They got whooped today.
And Jeff Loggeman mentioned this early on, might have been on the tailgate show, that this is a good front-running defense for the Eagles. When they get out in front, they really know how to pin their ears back and take advantage of it. That's exactly what they did.
No, they were whooping them before they got out front.
Well, that's true, too. But once it did, you're right, they just pinned it back. All right, cool down with a refreshing real fruit smoothie from McDonald's, available in wild berry or strawberry banana, starting at just $2.29. McDonald's, I'm loving it. We'll talk with Uche Nwaneri when we come back. Hear his thoughts on the Jaguars' loss today, 28-3 the final. Philadelphia with a victory. We're back with more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show right after this timeout here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Here from Jaguars Central, Cole Pepper, Pete Banaszak, Marco Coleman. Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. And we're pleased to have Uche Nwaneri here in the studio with us. Jaguar Central, after the 28-3 loss to the Eagles, it was tough to watch. Had to be tough to be on the field for as well. What was the tenor like on the field among the team, you know, toward the end there and in the locker room?
Generally everybody was, you know, frustrated and disappointed. You know, everybody put so much work into these game plans and to get ready throughout the week for every team that we play. And, you know, it's really something that, you know, as a player, you put, you know, it's your passion. You know, it's what you've done all your life. And you know, you commit everything you have to getting ready to play on Sundays. And, you know, to not be able to put it together on a Sunday when, you know, you're in front of the home crowd and, you know, there's a lot of things, a lot of people that were watching to see, you know, what was Vic going to do and how would the Jaguars respond. You know, for us to not be able to put it together is just extremely frustrating and disappointing. But with that said, I mean, you know, that's not going to stop us from preparing the same way we've been preparing.
One of the questions we asked all this past week in the locker room was, how do you bounce back from the San Diego game? Is it geometric? Is it twice as tough to bounce back from two straight losses? Is it four times? I mean, it starts to pile on itself, I think, at some point when you start talking about trying to turn things around and bounce back.
Well, I think, you know, you have to look at it from the standpoint of, you know, each week is different in the NFL. You can't allow what happened last week to affect what's going to happen in the following game. And, you know, when you're playing in a division where you have Indianapolis and Houston and Tennessee, you know, you can't afford to dwell on, you know, what happened with Philadelphia by the time Thursday's around, because now you're affecting what's going on with the game plan for Indianapolis. So
24-hour rule you're talking about, basically, right?
Yeah, basically.
And maybe the 24-minute rule as far as this one's
yeah.
concerned.
you know, honestly, for me, I hate to lose. I hate to look up and see other teams celebrate and other teams rejoicing that they're winning. But, you know, we understand that, you know, we're going to have another opportunity next week, and we have to put this behind us and move forward. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we were in the same position last year, and we had an opportunity to get into the playoffs. So, it's frustrating and it's disappointing, and we really, you know, I personally feel like we let the crowd down. But, you know, next week we got Indianapolis coming here, and you know that, you know, that game is going to be a high-intensity game. So we got to get ready for that.
Now with when you talk about preparation, this season, the addition of Ron Heller to the offensive line group as far as coaching, how with, have you know, Andy Heck and Ron Heller, two different type of players, two different type of guys, how has that combination of those two coaches helped you, I guess, you know, as a player, young player in this league?
Well, you know, Coach Heller is, he's got kind of the same personality as Coach Heck, so they kind of complement each other in how they teach techniques and how they help us understand the concepts of our plays and what we're doing. And I think that he actually brings something more, you know, seeing as how he played such a long time in the league himself. So it's just a big, you know, knowledge base that you have to, you know, reach into, and you can ask him anything and they can give you a number of different, you know, tips on what to do in certain situations. So, you know, he's been a real asset, you know, to the offensive line.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier, this is, you got 13 more to go. You know, things aren't all, you know, it's tough right now.
Yeah.
It'd probably be, you know, this is and you're all in the same boat. What is going to be, any thoughts in your mind what you can do to the teammates or from a personal standpoint of view, how we can get this thing back on track?
Well, you know, we have to all be on the same page. And, you know, me personally, I try to be a guy that, you know, brings energy to the table for other players on the team. And, you know, I'm a vocal guy, so I like to, you know, try and rev people up. But, you know, at the end of the day, we all have to understand what's going on.
And look in the mirror, right?
Yeah, we all have to. You have to look at yourself, and you have to ask yourself, am I doing enough? And, you know, I personally believe that we have done so much to get ready and so much to give ourselves a chance on Sunday. So, you know, we're just going to ask everybody to dig a little bit deeper, you know, because, I mean, you can look around the league, and every year there's a team who starts off 0-3 or 1-2 or 0-4, and they end up making the playoffs.
It's
they
not
end up making
over,
a run.
By so, any means.
Yeah, we're not looking at it as, oh, you know, we're about to pack our bags and call it a year, because that's the farthest thing that we have on our minds right now. We got a game coming in next week against a rival, and they know that we don't like, you know, we don't like them. They don't like us. And we're going to come with our most physical and our most aggressive football that we can. So we got to get ready for Indianapolis next week.
Certainly all eyes will be on the Jaguars for that one, seeing how the team bounces back after the loss today. Uche, thanks for stopping in after a tough game. We appreciate it. Classy as always, and we'll see you in the locker room this week. Uche Wanneri, Jaguars guard, gracious enough to join us. We will hear from Aaron Cannon a little bit later on as well. Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. See how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers, the Parts House, official sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll take time out. Back with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show after the Jaguars' 28-3 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. Back after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show following the Jaguars' 28-3 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. Time now for the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. Highlights and lowlights of today's game through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. The Eagles had already taken a 7-0 lead on a Michael Vick to DeSean Jackson 61-yard touchdown on 3rd and 16. And when Josh Scobie booted a 51-yard field goal, made it a 7-3 ball game after the Jaguars stuffed the Eagles on a 4th and 1 play. Looked like maybe Jacksonville would have a little momentum, trailing by 4 with the football. But on their next possession, the Jaguars couldn't move the ball enough. After one first down, they had to punt it away. And with a minute and 37 seconds remaining, Philadelphia took over on their own 47-yard line. It took them 7 plays and 53 yards to jump out to a 14-3 lead.
Back to throw is Vic. He's looking. He's under pressure. He'll turn and throw. And this one is caught. DeSean Jackson. He's up the sideline. Look at him go to the end zone. And that is a 61-yard touchdown.
That was the 61-yarder. And here is how the Michael Vick touchdown looked and sounded, rather, late in the first half.
Tight end with two receivers. Vick with the ball. Drops deep into the pocket. Looking left now. Shuffles his feet. Being chased. Is hit as he throws. And this one is caught for a touchdown. Jeremy Maclin wide open in the end zone.
Made it a 14-3 ball game. The Jaguars trying to move the ball in the second half, but the offense would not have much success.
David in the shotgun with Drew set right. Three receivers. The tight end is in the wing, but he's staying in the block. All kinds of time. David turns and throws, and this one is intercepted. Asante Samuel stepped right in front of Mike Sims-Walker, who then turns and plants him at the 30-yard line.
And it took exactly one play for Philadelphia to capitalize on the turnover.
Vick takes the snap, drops to throw, shuffles his feet in the pocket, turns and throws, and this one will be caught. And Jeremy Maclin's going to the end zone for a touchdown.
That made it 21-3. Next possession for Philly. Michael Vick capped the 6-play 72-yard drive with a 17-yard run. It was 28-3, and that was all she wrote. Jaguars lose it 28-3. That's the Sexton Summary, presented by Metro PCS with no signed contracts. Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. We'll be back with more analysis after the Jaguars' 28-3 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. This is the Winn-Dixie postgame show right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to Winn-Dixie postgame show after the Jaguars' 28-3 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. Cole Pemper, Marco Coleman, Pete Banaszak here. Tired of defending what you pay for car insurance? With Geico, you won't have to. Go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO for your free rate quote. See how much you can save. All right, time now for the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, Jacksonville's circle of care. With all due respect, when you give up the kind of plays the Jaguars did in coverage, maybe we shouldn't go to pass coverage to find this award. But, Pete, you might have found one where a guy covered up somebody pretty good on a play.
Boy, I did. That was the best block I've seen in a couple years. On that first punt return where I think it was Thomas that made the return of about 46, 50 yards, Brackenridge threw a block that, I tell you, that guy's sphincter muscles must have rattled because he hit him like a – he really – that was the best block I've seen in a couple years on special teams.
Big block there by Brackenridge. Jaguars special teams, pretty good unit.
They did – if there was one positive today, they came and they made some good returns.
Yep, for sure. All right, time now to name the protector of the game, brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. Marco, what do you have on the protector of the game?
I would say Mr. Wineri. You know, he was in there and was sticking his face in there. He had a couple of one bad call on the on that personal foul. Yeah. I really don't think so. But you see the effort at the end of the game, getting that, you know, protecting his running back. And that's the thing you got to have. That's the thing that, you know, that inspires the team and gets them motivated. At least he kept fighting.
Yeah. I don't think it was an effort issue today. There were certainly some performance issues, but I didn't think it was an effort issue by and large. Again, if you're looking for positives out of this game, I thought the play of Terrence Knighton waking up after the first 2 weeks where he looked like he was, you know, not interested in what he was doing. I thought he played very well today. And there was not a lightning delay, which I thought was a big plus. Found that to be a big plus. Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card. When you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline, you get $2 in Jag Bucks. For details, go to jaguars.com. We'll take time out. Come back with the good. Which there may be some. The bad and the ugly. You can figure the rest of it out for yourself. The Winn-Dixie postgame show rolls on after the Jaguars' 28-3 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. Back after this timeout here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back here on the Winn-Dixie postgame show, Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman, Pete Banaszek, and it is the aforementioned former Raider, current great, with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, like you said, Artie, you can't sugarcoat none of this, but there were some good things. You know, I thought the fans came out. We had a good crowd today. Mm-hmm. I thought our special teams, especially our punt and kickoff returns, played well and gave us good field position. We talked about the return of Thomas and the block of Brackenridge. Gave us good field position, but I also like the parachutes.
And by the way, did you notice one of the parachutes, they had five parachuters, one of them, the main parachute got tangled up, and he had to go to his backup parachute and wound up landing in the Jaguars' practice fields. We're told nobody was hurt, but always good to have a backup plan.
Well, that was the play of the day.
Yeah.
But the bad thing was, I think our defense, our offense, as a team, we played horrible. One of our worst performances. But I'm going to say this. The coaching got to take a lot of blame for this. I thought the effort was there. We talked to Uche Wineri here earlier. The effort is there. They're playing hard. But these coaches got to do a better job in preparing these guys. Everybody's got to do a better job. You know, when you see Asante Samuel, and he does this week after week, he's sitting on the corners, you got to run ups on him. It's a dream to get that, and you got to do that. The ugly thing I thought, too, was, we're 1-2, and it doesn't get easier. If you look at the schedule, they all look tough from here and out. You know, it's going to be a tough road ahead. But you know what? We're going to show the character of this team right from here. From this point on, how they come back, how they take this and learn off of it, and how they overcome adversity. This is a true test of character.
Next week it is the Colts who come to town, a 4:05 kickoff here at Everbank Field, and we'll take the air here on the network at 3 o'clock. In Jacksonville, have 2 hours of tailgate show to get you going before that, so that's what we have coming up next week. Speaking of the tailgate show, it is next. Stick around in Jacksonville. You can take your comments and calls. 1-800-355-NFL1 on the Scoreboard Show. The Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show straight ahead. 800-355-6351. I'm confident that there will be some comments made by some fans after this one. Jaguars lose it 28-3. Now 1-2 on the season. The Jaguars have a home game against the Colts to come. And it is going to be a big week with a lot of focus on the Jaguars. Jack Del Rio says he's circling the wagons. And so we'll see how things respond. Your calls when we come back. The Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. We'll also hear from Aaron Campman, the Jaguars defensive end, straight ahead. Thanks for listening on the Jaguars Radio Network. And Jackson will stick around. More coverage to come right here on Jaguars Radio.